Goeiemôre Brackenfell. Welkom terug aan julle almal. Sorry, I'm shouting at you. It's awesome to be back. It's been a couple of weeks and it's just so lucky. There was excitement in our home this morning just to be able to come to church and you guys getting it sorted. Am I echoing a lot there? I don't have my phone on me, so is there anything else that's distracting or is causing the sound? Or? All right. Otherwise, I use this. Okay.
Net adjust for your ear.
Okay. All right. Okay, great. So, firstly, are you all well?
Yes.
Are you all glad to be here this morning? Okay, are you all excited? This morning while we were worshiping, I was like, don't sing too loud and strain your voice too much because you still got to bring the word today. So you've got to, you need to be careful on your stem spar. And I kept quiet for two verses, and then I found myself shouting and singing. And there's just something in you that when the love and the passion of God for God is in you, that you just can't keep quiet. And so I want to say that, and I trust that you all enjoyed the time of worship this morning in praising our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I'm very excited for this morning. And the words that was shared here this morning, even when the guys were praying this morning, the words that were coming is like God has already started to move. And so I trust this morning that your hearts are prepared, that you came in anticipation of the Holy Spirit moving today and doing something in your lives. And so yesterday I messaged Luke to ask him about the announcements. And anyway, so he came back and he said, what are you preaching on? And I just laughed and I went back to him. I said, and it was just a joke. And I said, because the heading was going to be, what are you paying attention to? And then I went to him and I said, you get what you pay for. And he came back, he said, I like it. I said, okay, done. It's going to be the heading for the sermon this morning, for the word that I feel I need to share with you guys this morning. And so, you get what you pay for. There's a study about social media, and you can watch the documentaries. There's plenty of them on all different platforms that you can go and watch about social media, where attention has become the currency for the modern generation. Sorry, is this thing echoing a lot? Is it? Are you guys? Otherwise, I can switch over to this. Are you guys okay? Okay, all right. Sorry, I'm just a bit distracting for me. Okay. All right. And so, attention has become the currency of the modern generation. And if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product. So social media sees your attention as the product. In fact, our attention is being sold to advertisers. People who work in social media, they developed all these kind of like buttons and share buttons. And who uses the like buttons? Who uses the share buttons? See, there's a couple of hands. Come on, you don't have to be shy. I've got nothing against social media. But they've developed it, and the engineers are saying that people use it as a tool. We designed it as a drug. We designed it as a drug. So your attention has become the product. What about your attention when you are driving? If we pay with our attention, then we also pay with our attention for accidents that happened on the road. And I've went and I did a study, or just did a search about how many accidents are related to texting and driving. And I'm guilty of that. I'm talking to myself as well. Because in my business, sometimes while I'm driving, I'm just checking something. But in South Africa, one out of four accidents is caused by texting and driving. They say that texting and driving is 6 times more likely to cause an accident than driving under the influence of alcohol. So people pay with their attention for accidents. And then you can look at the flip side. You can look at the other side. If we pay with our attention, then we also, if you're married, who's married here this morning? Let's see some hands. Get some out. There we go. Brilliant. Almost everybody. Tian just caught in the slot this year. He's joined us. This morning, I see Tian is starting to using analogies in marriage now, where previously when he was single, it was totally different. So I'm very encouraged for that. But you pay for intimacy with your attention. With your spouse, you're married. You don't have to be super funny. You do that before you get married, right, Tian? Yeah, that's right. He says yes. Okay. You don't have to be super clever. All you have to do is, can I hear it? Pay attention. And here's the thing, it's the same with God. If you want intimacy with God, pay attention to Him. Pay attention to His Word. Pay attention when you worship. Don't get distracted. Put your phone off when you worship. But you pay for intimacy with God with your attention. So there's an attack on our ability to pay attention. Do you know how many people, 5, 7, 10, 15 minutes, can't go without watching something on their phone? Just after 10, 7 minutes, your hand starts fidgeting. You're looking for the next thing that you can see. What else is there on the phone? What is the news saying? What is this saying? What is the... I can't repeat that.
I feel like your phone is buzzing, but it's not really.
That's right. And I believe you can go for therapy for that.
Yes, you can.
You can. All right. But there's this attack in our ability to pay attention. You sit 5 minutes into a date night, your hand starts going to the phone. Maybe something serious happened. Maybe, you know, there's a life thing that happened. So there's this distraction. People are distracted. And there's this addiction because there's the ability to pay attention. Just for 5, 10, 15 minutes. And I'm guilty of that. I'm convicted of that. Because my phone is my work. I do everything on it, work-related, and then everything else. And so we've got to be careful to what we pay attention to. There's this constant attack. And we can't stay focused on one thing for a long time. I hope that God brings freedom here today. That is my trust. That is what I prayed for this morning, for freedom this morning from bondage in this area of paying attention. So, while we were in isolation, we were being blessed every night. I think it's for 12 nights. We got food delivered to our home and wonderful, wonderful food. So I want to thank everybody that that contributed and brought us food, who blessed us out of our socks. I want to thank you very much. And so we were so blessed. Food was delivered to us in the evenings, and it was brilliant. So thank you very much. But then there were times that we needed stuff, and some people phoned and said, and offered, said, can we get you something? And then myself and Angelique has been threatening for about a year now, we must start to learn how to order stuff online. Yeah? Who's done that? Okay, I'll ask you afterwards what your opinion is. So I had this app 6060, Checkers, 6060 downloaded on my phone, but I haven't used it. I just checked it out. I paid some attention to it. And I said to Angelique, let's come, it's time that we test it now. And so we started testing it, and we ordered it, and within 60 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, 25 minutes, because Checkers is close to us, they deliver the packages to your door. I was like, yay, this is nice. It's like, whoa, we're getting used to this here. And so I was thinking, what if I didn't know, and Angelique went on and she ordered something from this app, and the driver comes and he delivers the package to our door. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And I take the cricket bat and I go out and I want to attack this guy. What are you delivering packages at our home for? What do you think he's going to do? He's going to innocently look at me and say, I'm only delivering what your wife paid for. Or if I ordered, and it was the other way around, I'm only delivering what your husband paid for. And I was like, in a family, we're a family of five. My kids get older and they get into all kinds of stuff. As a family, we'll be the recipients of what one of my children pay for, what they pay attention to. And it influences my family. And so I was thinking, but what about the church? What each one of us individually pay our attention to, whatever that may be, whatever sin area we heard this morning, God wants to, he wants to deal with sin in our lives. So if you carry an offense, if you pay attention to any sins, that package gets delivered to the church's door. And I was like, whoa. So we've got to be careful, friends, what we pay attention to. There was things this morning about in the dark and the underwear and the stuff that you can't see. God knows. And so the enemy will only deliver the packages to the addresses that has paid for it. And it will influence everybody in the family. Amen? Sure, I was cut to the heart. I was like, Lord, I want to be careful to what I pay attention to. I want to be careful. So I want to challenge us here this morning. I think sometimes we pay too much attention to the news and to social media. And you know what that does? It creates fear and anxiety and depression. I'm not talking about if there's a chemical imbalance. I'm talking about when it's a cause of what you paid attention to. And we look at social media and we look at the things around the world, and then we keep on going through it, strolling through it, and we're looking at numbing things, things that numb our mind. Things that are not nurturing us, but numbing us. And then we wonder why. Why are we in this situation? Why am I fearing all the time? Why have I got this anxiety? Why can't I sleep? What am I paying my attention to? This is not to bring shame on people. I'm just saying that there are many people that are struggling with things because they pay for it with anxiety. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. When COVID hit, what was the main thing that was focused on? How many people were dying? It was the main focus on. And it was all on social media. There was nothing, there was very little said about the recovery rate. And there was fear put in people's life and anxiety. There were some people that were so scared. And I heard this, somebody that I worked with in the past, he said his son, 30 days, he locked himself in the room. 30 days. Didn't come out of his room for 30 days. Food was being dropped at his, he was too scared. And for some people, they'll only come out, they lock themselves in, they're so scared, they'll only come out when there's a vaccine found for death. And so this boy locked himself in, 13 years old, locked himself in. Because of what he paid attention to. And people go out and say, oh, the whole world is crazy. No, the world is not crazy. It's the media that's crazy. Because what they do is they go right across the world and in our country, and they take all the bad stuff from here, bad stuff from there, Durban, Joburg, all the areas, they put it into one platform, and we go and pay attention to it. And fear kicks in, anxiety kicks in. We can't live free because we're captivated by the very things that draw us away from God. God wants to captivate your heart. We sang about it this morning. But we pay our attention on things that is drawing us away from Him. Again, I'm not against social media. I'm not against, it's good to know what's happening. But how much time are you paying attention to it? God does not want us to live under attack all the time. He wants us to live in freedom. So it's not enough to tell the enemy to stop bringing you packages of fear and anxiety and depression and all kinds of things. All that we need to do is disconnect the payment method. If my children get older and they get hold of one of my bank cards and they start ordering things online, the very first thing that I will do is I will, previously it was much more difficult to do it. You had to go to the bank and stop the card and stop all of that. If somebody steals your card or whatever, now you can log into the app. I will stop the payment method. We need to do that in our lives. God is saying to us today, there's some of us that need to stop certain payment methods in our lives. In other words, what we are paying attention to. And so Mark 4, verses 24, if you can put that scripture up to us, it says the following. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, say more. And to you who hear, more will be given. I'll pay a bit of attention to that a bit later. Can you hear the language? Pay attention. Every person have a certain measure in their life. Ephesians 4 verse 7 said that we have a measure of God's gift, of Christ's gift in us. Meaning there's a certain measure that all of us have. And do you know that some measures have been passed down from family to family? Or in families, there's a certain measure in I've seen a certain measure of peace in certain families' lives. But I've seen also a measure of depression, a measure of poverty, There's a certain measure, whatever that looked like in certain families' lives, there comes to a stage where you've hit the ceiling, when you can't go further. Because there's that certain measure, there's that level. And we all have that limits because we all have a measure. We have a measure of influence. We have a measure of God's grace. A measure of knowledge. And currently, we have a measure of how many people is coming to church, right? There's a measure. How many people are being saved? How many people are being healed? There's a ceiling that we reach. And God says that that measure, we need to work the measure. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And we need to work that measure. But then he goes on to say, and he gives us this secret, which is not a secret, because if we pay attention to his word, it's right there. And he says, and to you who hear, more will be given. So if all of us has got a certain measure, and we've hit that ceiling, God says, to you who hear, more will be given. While everybody is either enjoying or enduring their life, their measure, we can step into another level. Into a bigger measure. Firstly, in our relationship with Christ, we can step into another level. He says it, to those who hear, to those who pay attention, you can go into a next level. For those that are married, if you pay attention, you can go into another level. What does that look like? Well, I'm not happy with situations in my marriage, and it's not so lekker, but I just continue with life. I get home, tired, go sit on the couch, pay attention to things that numb my mind, Netflix, binge watching. But there's certain things I'm not happy with in my marriage. You will get what you pay for. If you don't pay attention to those areas that you're not happy with in your marriage, I almost said enjoy your miserable marriage, but maybe. But then enjoy what you're happy with. Enjoy what you're paying for. What about your finances? If you're in debt and things, I'm not talking about what happened with COVID now, but if you're in debt because of just finances and stuff have piled up, what are you going to do about it? Go and see the leaders. Please help me. Look at what I'm doing wrong. Go and keep yourself accountable. Go and read books about finances. Go to the Word of God. There's so plenty in the Word of God that speaks about finances and how to get rid of debt. And there's 15% of what Jesus spoke about was about wealth and possessions and money, and that's a lot. But if you're just going to be happy with, you're just going to go along and not pay attention, there's so many books you can read. There's so many free resources with the internet. So what I'm saying is pay attention to the right stuff. And God has placed us in a family. There's people that's financially strong in the church that has gone through a lot, that has learned how to work with it, that can give you advice that's financially sound. What about in your relationships? With your parents, with your children? What are you paying attention to? Do you want to go into that next level? God says it's available. All you have to do is pay attention. Amen? And that measure is unlocked by what we hear, what we pay attention to. What content I consume today will determine my level of measure tomorrow. There's people that say, now, remember, when you get married, Tian, Kolia, toe julle getroud geraak het, When you got married, what was your intention for your marriage? Success. To have a successful marriage, to have a good marriage. So the intentions are there. And the desire is there. But if they don't pay attention to their marriage, it is going to be the opposite. You're going to be unhappy. If you're going to scroll 2 hours on this and watch 3 hours of that and don't pay attention to your marriage or your finances or your relationships or go sort out things in the life of the church with a brother or a sister so that things can come out to the light so the church can walk in freedom, so that the marriage can walk in freedom, so that the relationships between parents and children can walk in freedom. Sorry, I'm just excited. I'm like... So your intentions can be good, but it's what you pay attention to that makes the difference. What are you paying attention to? It's your attention that determines the next level. What is going into your mind is the key that will unlock the new level in your life. So your input determines the outcome. We all have heard that before. It's a popular saying, your input determines your outcome. I've heard, and I don't know if this is correct, you guys are fitness, but they say that when you exercise, 20% is fitness, 80% is your diet. Am I correct? Something like that, maybe. I'll go with it, he says go with it. But if you exercise 20%, you go and you exercise very hard, and the rest of the day you just eat McDonald's and KFC and whatever that is, then you're not going to reach the level of fitness that you need to reach. So it's what does your spiritual diet look like? What are you feeding yourself with? Yeah, what fuel are you using? How much attention are you paying to your intimacy with God? It's out of a place with intimacy with God where this is right, this will be much better. If all our attention with God is getting better and better, we pay a lot of attention to Him and pray during the day. You don't have to just have a quiet time. You can talk to God all day long. You can build your intimacy with Him all day long. If you really want to change, you will put in the effort. I said, yeah, it is not enough to switch off the entertainment. Is it enough to switch off the entertainment and to switch on? It's time to switch on the enlightenment. Do you dislike the circumstances that you're in, those areas in your life that you're struggling with? Do you dislike it so much that you will actually put in the effort to change it and pay the right attention to the areas that you need to? Do you dislike it enough to switch things off that numb you and turn on things that nurture you? Enough to turn on the radio or an audiobook while you drive? People spend a lot of time on the roads in Cape Town. Heinrich said, yeah, I spoke to him this week. So in Cape Town, the average person spends, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour a day, work back, hour and a half. What is it like? You've got some stats? Or you spend 3 hours a day? Who else? How much time you spend on the road? 2 hours. 5 hours. God bless your soul. Okay, so I'm not... What are you listening to? If there's areas that you're struggling with, what are you listening to? What are you paying attention to? You're paying attention to the news on the radio? And those numbing songs I almost said something else. Numbing is good. But nurturing is better. Good description. Good description, yeah. So use the time. Use. I don't know how much the average person spends on, what's the right word? Relaxing or just a day? I think it depends. It's different for every person. But I heard there's stats out that between 2 and 4 hours. Sounds about right. I've got nothing against relaxing and taking a break, and but at least one of those hours, can you pay attention to the very things that will change your life? To the very things that will take your relationship with God deeper, and a deeper place of intimacy. I'm also a busy person, understand? But my kids walk in 6 o'clock, they wake up, I sit on the couch, I'm reading my Bible. I'm spending time with the Lord. And they know. They come and hug me, they come and sit on my lap. Nadia comes and sit on my lap because sometimes she wakes up first, and then sometimes Liana wakes up, but very little because Liana likes to sleep. Angelique said, this afternoon we're going to take a nap. Liana said, it's on. I'm going to take a nap. Kids don't like taking naps, but she said, I'm in. When she was born, she slept right through. Anyway, I'm taking a rabbit trail here. But what are we, can we take some of that time and pay attention to the very things that is going to take us to that next level? To the mall. Who wants to go into the mall? I want to see a response. Who wants to have more? Everybody says. I want to have more. Our first priority should always be our relationship with God. Always. Not because God did a miracle, but because you applied His principle. If you want, there's people here that have got way more than they had 1, 2, 3, 4 years ago. Not because of the miracle. Yes, sometimes God does miracles, but because they applied the principles of marriage. What does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about finances? What does the Bible say about relationships? What does the Bible say about my intimacy with God? God is a father who reaches out His hand the whole time. I've used this illustration before, but many people walk and they just push Him away. And His hand is out there. He's waiting for you. He wants that intimate relationship with you. Can we pay attention? Come on. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, a lot of serious faces. I'm just passionate. I want us to go into the next level with God. I said, you don't get discouraged when you do all the right things. You spend time with God. You take the right actions. You take the right steps. And it doesn't happen. You don't get results straight away. I'm talking about the results, kids of today. They want things yesterday. But adults too, sorry. I think a lot of adults are like that too. We all got used to the microwave. Instant gratification. It's like a person who've eaten unhealthy their whole life, and then one day they skip McDonald's and they expect to lose 10 kgs tomorrow. Some things take time. That next scripture, Joshua 3 verses 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Say tomorrow. Tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. Today's sacrifices will determine tomorrow's success. Will determine next year's success. 3 years, 4, 5 years, 10 years. This year I'm saved 13 years. My biggest fear is talking in front of people. It was my biggest fear. I never, ever, ever thought that I will stand in front and that God will use me to speak to people, to tell people about Jesus, and to do children's church, to train the next generation, because they are the ones that's going to stand here in 10, 15, 20 years' time, encouraging the next generation to pay attention to their relationship with Jesus. What you do today is a result of yesterday's attention. What you do today, what happens today is not God's fault. Sometimes God allows things, but mostly it's because of what we paid attention to yesterday, last week, last year. So God wants you to step into the more. He wants you to pay attention. Doesn't matter where you are today. Donnie, I'm down and out. I can't. I'm finished. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I've got no more outcomes. Start paying attention today. Start being accountable. Start being open. Bring things out in the light. So that tomorrow and next week and next year, things can change. I am a result of that. You guys are a result of that. Why are you in church today? I hope it's not because you haven't opened your Bible once this week and you want to get your fix on a Sunday. It's because you want to pay attention to your intimacy with Christ. That's why we should be here. Because we want to grow in Christ. We want to grow in our lives. We want to grow in our relationships, even though we have to keep social distancing. We make use with what we've got. But we want to grow. We want the next level. We want the more. Say more. We want more. So that limit of how many people's coming to church, how many people's getting saved, how many relationships, we want more. Because we want to see people's lives being radically changed for Jesus. And their lives, the bondage is being broken off their lives. The chains, we sang it this morning, nations, chains broken off their lives. We want that. For some people, it's going to be easy. I remember before I got saved, I started looking at pornography. And when I got saved, and I realized the damage that it's doing to my marriage, and how it's affecting my relationship with God, it was easy for me to stop it. My wife is a daughter of the God Most High. That lady that I was looking at is a daughter of the God Most High. God created her. He's a son. She's a daughter. But for some people, it's going to be a bit more difficult. Why? Because this is what addictions does. Sin does. You start looking at something, then you pay attention to it, then you get hooked, and then you say, oh, next day I'm going to stop, I'm not going to do it again. And then you do it because you just can't stop doing it, because you're paying too much attention to it, and now you're addicted to it. Drugs, alcohol, sport. I know people that knows every single player of the soccer teams that they enjoy, and of the ones that they don't like. I know people that know every single rugby player, and the 15 on the bench, and those that didn't make it onto the team. They watch school level rugby, they watch whatever the sport is, they watch all the levels and check who's going to come through, but they don't know one name of the disciple of Jesus. I'll rather know the name of the disciples of Jesus and how their intimacy was like with Christ than know one player on any sports field. Whatever that is. And sports is a big thing. People are so invested in their sport that their families will take strain. Their relationships will take strain. They won't come to church. And I'm not talking, I've got nothing against sport. I used to be a sport fanatic. I've got nothing against that. But people are so invested that everything else lacks. And then they get home and they complain. I'm unhappy with my marriage. I'm unhappy with my life. I'm unhappy with where I'm at. I'm unhappy about my finances. I'm unhappy about my relationship. And they're angry at everybody. They're angry at the church. They're angry at the leaders. They're angry at the brothers and sisters and fathers and everybody. But then they go and pay attention to things that is the very cause of that very thing that they're unhappy about. God wants to break that. He wants to break that over your life. He wants to break that bondage. He wants to break those chains. If you don't give attention to God, then you will have no appetite for God. And if you don't have an appetite for God, you develop alternative addictions. And those addictions will tear your life apart. The enemy will use it, but he's only going to deliver what you paid for. There's some people that think, why do I feel so bored when I read this book? I just don't feel connected to God. God's not speaking to me. Why am I feeling like this? I want to say to you, pay more attention to Him. Somebody told me a couple of weeks ago, said, I read the Bible, but I don't feel anything. I kept on reading it until God spoke to me. I paid attention. Now God speaks to me. I feel different. I look different. I can see. The person looks different because he's paying attention. As we end up, three things to apply in your life. First one, take stock of your attention. Take inventory of your attention. Mark 4 verses 24 says, take heed of what you hear. In other words, pay attention to what you hear. He didn't say, first say, change what you hear. He said, take heed what you hear before you change what you hear. Take stock. Just take a look at your phone. There's an app, actually, you can see in your phone how much time you spend on it and what you spend it on. The new phones, right? Yeah. So I'm going to read a couple of questions and I want you to take note. How much time do we spend on social media? What do we do when we drive? What do we listen to? What do you listen to when you exercise? What do you do with your free time? When was the last time you opened your Bible after your devotion? Do you have peace or anxiety? Are you burning for God or are you burnt out? Are you creative? Or have you become critical? Are you numbing or are you nurturing? Is what you're feeding yourself enlightening you or is it entertaining you? Is what I'm consuming controlling me? And God is dealing with each and every single one of us right now. The Holy Spirit is working in our hearts right now. I can feel it. And so you listen to me and say, yeah, I hear what you're saying. And I can. And then you go home and you're going to carry on exactly with what you've done yesterday. No, go home and can change. Go and change what you pay attention to so that tomorrow you can have more. Number two, redirect your attention today to where you want to excel tomorrow. Redirect your attention. Ask yourself, where do I want to be tomorrow? Where do I want to be next year? Based on that, you will pay attention for tomorrow's growth. You might not have money to do certain things. Maybe you're not happy with your work or your business. But go to the library. There's free resources out there. Go and read books about business and management and whatever you're interested in. There's free books out there. There's free resources. But start today. Maybe it's your marriage. There's free resources. There's leaders in this church that can help you. We've got a wonderful 70-odd page book that will change your life in marriage. There's free resources out there. Do you hate your circumstances enough to start paying attention today so that you can grow tomorrow? Especially in your relationship and your intimacy with God Most High, especially. God is not asking anything hard from you. All He's asking is to pay attention. Pay attention to Him. And then lastly, endure temporary withdrawals. Some people that are addicted to stuff are going to endure withdrawals. You're going to go home today and say, you're going to want to pick up the phone and go look at news, social, whatever, maybe you were into some other stuff, and we're going to have that urge. It's not going to be easy. But endure temporary withdrawals. Start paying attention to God. Start paying attention to your intimacy with Him. Choose your diet carefully so that you can walk with God and what He wants for you. So here's my question. What do you want for yourself? What do you want for your marriage? What do you want for your relationships? Where do you see your level of intimacy with God and how you walk with Jesus? Choose God's desire for you. You know, all of us are created with that emptiness inside of us, and we try and fill it with rubbish, and we try all kinds of things, and it doesn't go away. God created that emptiness in you because He's the only one that can fill that emptiness. And once you've filled that emptiness with God, it will be a whole new world for you. It will be a whole new level for you. And you continue to fill that hole with Jesus. And you pay attention to those things. Amen? Let's stand. Father, thank You for Your love, Your grace, Your kindness, and Your sternness. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask to raise your hand if you feel that the Lord spoke to you today in the areas that you're paying attention to. With your eyes closed. Holy Spirit, come right now. Come and show us what intimacy with You look like when we pay attention to You, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that the chains will be broken over all of our lives of the very things that rob us of our relationship with You, Father, that rob our marriages, that rob our finances, that rob our relationships with one another. Father, I pray for more. I pray for more, Father. I pray that we will pay attention so much that we will go in levels that we've never thought even possible because of You, Jesus. So I pray, Lord, Each and every person that put up their hand this morning, come and do a supernatural work in their lives. And this is my prayer, that it will be easy for you. But even if it's not, that you will continue to pay attention in your intimacy with Jesus. Even if it takes a year, or two, or five. Holy Spirit, come and do your work. In Jesus' name. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've heard the message, and you're hearing the word, but you've never had a relationship with God, with Jesus. You've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because you've paid too much attention to the things that is destroying your life. With our eyes closed, everybody's eyes closed, if that is you this morning, and you say, I want to make Jesus Lord and Savior of my life, I want more than what I have at the moment. If you're so unhappy that you're willing to change and say, I want Jesus in my life. If that is you, I want you to raise your hand. I would love to pray for you this morning. Is there anybody here this morning? Okay. If there is anybody, you're more than welcome after the meeting to come and see myself or Luke, or any of the leaders, we'd love to pray for you. And if there's any of you that has got an addiction that you want broken over your life, please come and see us after the meeting. We'd love to pray for you. So Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, for the power of your word. Father, I pray that we will leave here today changed. That we will go and pay attention to you more. That we will go out and make a difference. And we will start today so that tomorrow can be better. So that tomorrow more people will be saved. More people will be reached. More people will be told about you, Jesus. So that we can go and make a difference in our area of influence where you have placed us. So that you can be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.